You're listening to Birthplace of Next, the podcast where city officials and partners discuss the latest news and developments in Dayton that make it a livable, sustainable, and innovative community. In this special In the Spotlight edition of the podcast, Dayton Mayor Jeffrey Mims will be talking with Camelia Harris, founder of the Just Us Mental Health Foundation.
Okay, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of In the Spotlight with Mayor Mims. And, of course, all my guests being special, I have another special guest here this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. Ms. Camelia Harris.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Okay, all the way up here from Atlanta.
Yes.
The ATL.
Okay. I like to say I'm a dual resident, born and raised in Dayton. So.
Okay, I appreciate that. Appreciate that. You know, of course, you know me. I would love to have your tax dollars here in Dayton full time, okay? But, no, thanks again for being here. And I know we're going to talk about your wellness, mental health program that you had this past, was it April?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Good memory. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this past April, and I was happy to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
That program and sharing with some other African-American males about the whole challenge that we have in terms of understanding mental health. It's one of those silent things that we see or we don't see.
Exactly.
You know, because we don't see it as much, we think everything's fine. And, of course, when you add to that this little macho spirit that men have, okay, we think that does everything just fine. As long as we're feeling fine, kicking around, doing whatever we want to do from a physical perspective.
That's true.
You know, we think things are fine. So you're going to be doing something else coming up. But before we talk about the upcoming event, I want to talk a little bit more about the past event.
Yes.
So did that turn out the way you wanted?
It was. It was absolutely amazing. We had a great turnout. Mm-hmm. Of course, you edified the panel with all the other amazing kings.
Right.
And so, yes, it did. People came. They seen. They heard. I think individuals walked away with a great perspective on black men's mental health, as well as just things we can do differently in our culture and our households with our young children. And so it was. It was absolutely amazing. It turned out great.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that was mentioned by the speaker, I think it was, talking about the aspect of us growing up, again, as men, always being told that we have to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't show pain. We can't show emotion. And the aspect of crying is off the table, if you will, as far as we're concerned, that we just got to suck it up and go through those processes. And you also talked about some of the damage that causes long term. Can you believe that just a bit?
Yeah, so believe it or not, I feel from a woman's perspective, one of the number one passed down traumas in our culture, and you may not look at it as trauma, is when you tell a child you shouldn't cry.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I never understood how is it that we both can conjure up the same type of emotion, but I can show mine and you can't show yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as I indicated before in several conferences, when that is an indication that's given for men, you have a lot going in and you have nothing coming out. And eventually that creates an explosion, i.e., which is what I feel took place with my father when he committed suicide in 2019, is that he had years, in his 60s, he had years of applied pressure and never had an opportunity to release it. And when he did, it's the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important that we begin to eradicate that myth. I think it's such a myth and a stigma on telling boys that it's not okay to show emotions, because that's false.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember some years ago, maybe even a decade ago, there was a former police chief, African-American male, here in the city of Dayton, who was in the middle of a news conference, was talking about these young black men and one of them being shot and killed, you know, by the other. And it was like probably like a series of about three events that we'd had where we had some black-on-black crime as far as the city of Dayton was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And he shed a few tears during the news conference.
Wow.
And I think the initial set of comments was the fact that, man, he big grown man, police chief, and gone through all this trauma, and what's he doing crying during a news conference?
Wow.
And I think as the next day came about, there were so many people who made positive comments with regards to they were happy to have a person at that level, at that stature, to have the emotion, the concern about someone losing their life to the point that they had some tears to share.
Absolutely.
And shared in that space. If you were to have that opportunity to look at that and talk to someone in that situation, what kind of words would you share with that individual?
My first words would be, it's so interesting because we lead with so many words with the conference, is that it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, we have come into this genre that it's showing emotions and giving indication that you're not okay is wrong.
Right.
So my biggest thing is, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay mm-hmm. to let others know that you don't feel good. You know, you're mentally dealing with some things, that emotions are real. It is important sure. to show them. And I think putting up that mask, all too often we have so many men that wear a mask. And so they mm-hmm. have this mask on before they go into their homes. Mm-hmm. They put up this mask before they go into their workplace. But inside, they're suffering.
Yep.
And so for him to show emotion that day, it lets us know, oh, men do cry. They actually do feel something when something is wrong. So I would say it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. You know, at a given time, I can be found, you know, having some tears of joy
mm-hmm.
as well as tears of pain.
Absolutely.
You know, thinking about some of the dreams that we have when we want to make dating the best place for someone to live, work, play, be educated, raise a family, and grow old.
I agree.
And when you're thinking about some of the kind of opportunities that we have, some of the successes that we have in moving in that direction, it's, again, brings back some tears of joy. You think about some of the opportunities with more and more job opportunities and things happening. And when you see sometimes people who are happy. I was in an event a couple of weeks ago with Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, yeah.
And saw this family, a mother and daughter, and another sibling who were involved in building their own house. And just the excitement mm-hmm. that they had in terms of that process. And then part of their commitment is to help someone else build another house. And so we are there at the situation where we're now signing the beam
yes.
of a house that was going to be built, you know, in the next few months. And so it couldn't help. And of course, and I was not by myself. You know, of course, mm-hmm. it was not a dry eye in the place in terms of people who were shedding that type of joy for those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So let's talk about, again, your upcoming event.
Okay.
Okay. April again?
This year is April 13th, 2024. Okay. Saturday, okay. April 13th, 2024.
Okay. All right. 2 days before tax day.
Oh, okay. It is.
All right. So, okay. Yeah, I should have mine done by then.
So it's Saturday, April 13th, 2024, again at Sinclair. Okay. Sinclair has sponsored us again to come, and we're going to have some more amazing panelists that are going to sit before our guests and talk mental health resources, support systems, everything involving being human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and of course, last time you had a great supporting cast mm-hmm. of some strong African-American females who were there in the place, you know, making sure the place was beautified by their presence, as well as being supportive in terms of just talking with us as well, and in terms of how we respond to certain questions, and just being great hostesses, if you will. So, again, that's very much appreciated. So I assume something similar this time coming up?
It is. Actually, the one that we host here in Dayton, I do it with one of my great friends, Deanna Clark.
Mm-hmm.
She's with Live Out Loud. She's a domestic violence survivor. So her and I both put on the one here in Dayton, Ohio. So, yeah, the cast is going to be amazing. The panelists, we have an awesome keynote speaker. And we're just going to talk some great things in the city and just making sure that we are empowering our people. Because keep in mind, the conference is open to men, women, and mature teens.
Right.
So it's important that, you know, our communication, the resources, and everything is geared towards a whole family unit.
Mm-hmm. So so who's your keynote this time? You liberty to share, or you just keep a secret, or are you going to tell us?
His name is Mr. Eric Kellum.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's actually a native of Dayton, Ohio. Interesting story. And I think some of the things that he has to say is very, very powerful. It's so relatable to if you mm-hmm. are born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, or if you have at least been here for at least 15 years, you are going to relate to his upbringing and what has created the spark as to who he is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we start talking about this and your reasons for wanting to do this mm-hmm. in the first place. It was the first time. And in fact, that Dayton is not the only city mm-hmm. that you have these symposiums. What's your driving force in terms of why? What kind of data are you looking at that causes you to think that this is important? I know you and your colleague both have some personal experiences mm-hmm. that have sort of like exacerbated this challenge in terms of why you think it's so important. Mm-hmm. But some of the other things in terms of national data or local data, data among men, et cetera, and the kind of impact. Let's talk about that for a bit.
Right. So just to basically spearhead right into it, both Deanna and I are born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, Meadowdale High School Lions okay. graduates.
All right, Lions. My son, Meadowdale Lions. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And so the easiest way to go right into it, Deanna is a living example of the loss in my family. So Deanna is a survivor of domestic violence. She was shot point blank range by her boyfriend, and he then turned the gun on himself, and they are both still living. Mm-hmm. My father took his life and another lady's life, and they are not. So she's mm-hmm. a walking example of our loss. And so we thought, what better way than to combine our stories and bring both mental health and domestic violence into one? But the whole focus is reigniting and changing the image of our black men. Mm-hmm. So that's what spearheaded it. So again, lost my father in 2019. And since then, I've transitioned my pain into my purpose. Okay. And I have become a mental health advocate. I never thought I would yep. become a mental health advocate, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing mm-hmm. that I have the opportunity to meet people right where they are and to talk mental health and to talk resources and what it is to have hope again, to dream again, to have joy, to know that anytime you're embodying pain, triumph, you can let it out. It's okay to not be okay. Joy does come in the morning, and mm-hmm. trouble doesn't last always. And that is my goal, and that is my mission. And so since I like to say I took off here in Dayton, Ohio, as the Wright okay. brothers would put it.
Okay.
One, because I'm born and raised. Two, because this is where my father's demise was. Since then, I've successfully accomplished a conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. In Houston, Texas. And here for 2024, we have five cities planned, starting okay. in Dayton, Ohio. Okay. I'm always going to okay. start with Dayton, Ohio. I love Dayton. Yeah. So starting with Dayton, Ohio, April 13th, mm-hmm. Birmingham, Alabama, April 27th, Columbus, Mississippi, June 22nd, Atlanta, Georgia, July 20th, and Houston, Texas again, November 16th.
Okay.
With the possibility of other cities showing up in the mist.
Right.
So I am excited. It's almost like there's been a call and I've answered. Just my obedience alone has allowed me to create this platform, and it's been nothing but amazing.
Okay.
The call, the responses, the amazing men such as yourself that have showed up and been a part of this, just the support system, it's just been amazing. I feel like I asked, and the yes that I get from you guys is not the typical, you know, Mayor Mims, you want to grab coffee? And you're mm-hmm. like, yes, it's the yes. Someone mm-hmm. hears us.
Okay.
Someone has given us a voice, and we're here to let our voices be heard. No mm-hmm. better person to tell the story than the authors themselves.
Yeah, yeah, true. So your background, mm-hmm. your prior to this venture, mm-hmm. Very important venture, too. Don't let me say that to make you think this trivial. But the aspect of what type of things prior to your father's situation that caused you to think maybe you're prepared to move into this space. I mean, educationally background, your work background. Talk about that for a moment to give us some context.
Right. So interesting. My entire career base of the last 22 years has been in healthcare.
Okay.
But on the aspect of healthcare IT. So I've been with your Blues. I've done IT resources for McKesson, one of the largest pharmaceutical IT companies. I've consulted with CDC. I've consulted with various entities on the background of healthcare. In addition to that, I've had the pleasure of owning and operate residential treatment homes for children, for youth in the foster care system.
Right.
In addition to that, I had a dire love for communications. So here it is. I have a healthcare background.
Okay.
I have a master's in communication. And I've probably been talking all my life, got in trouble in school for talking too much. My mom said, it's either going to make or break you one day.
Yeah.
And I like to think that.
Truly understand. Truly understand. You know, I used to finish my work early in school, and I thought it was my job to entertain the class since I was finished. You know, so the teachers didn't particularly like that. So
right.
Yeah. So we find out now have a job and now we're paid to talk.
Right.
So it's a blessing in terms of that perspective.
And it's also interesting. I left Dayton, Ohio at 17 and went to Georgia for college. And everything I did was involving communication. And I said, one day I look forward to the opportunity to travel across the world and speak. But I never knew that my topic would be mental health advocacy. Mm-hmm. So I think I just arrived at my assignment.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have way too many situations across the nation where there are shootings, mass shootings, and almost invariably the first thing that people talk about is aspect of mental health. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the aspect of the training or the kind of situations that person was involved in. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the looseness, if you will, in terms of regulations for gun ownership. The lack of training in terms of individuals who have weapons, unlike what you have to do if you have to drive a car. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got to get a driver's license.
Absolutely.
Get certified from that perspective. A training license as well as a driver's license. Then if you own a car, you have to get insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that in the context of weapons. In just those two things, or three things, if you take in account the aspect of training license, if you will.
Right.
But you can just go buy a gun.
Yeah.
The background check, is done in most places on a successful basis. But other than that, you just have a weapon. And when you have that conversation with individuals talking about the car versus the gun, someone say, well, a car can kill somebody. Well, duh.
Okay.
Clearly guns have done exactly that.
Absolutely.
So how do you explain just the aspect of the blanket excuse of someone who finds himself in that situation where they have taken 2, 3, 4, 6, and sometimes 10 lives as just that person was mentally ill.
Mm.
How do you explain that in context?
That's such a delicate conversation because the family of the lost ones would think there's nothing wrong with them. They just had a jealousy, whatever the case may be, and they just carried out an act of violence. And then on the other side of that, there's the me and other people. I just don't think that people wake up every day with the thought to go take someone's life. I think that a lot of individuals, such as the mass shooting and things like that, they are suffering. And I think that there is a long-term suffering that has taken place, and they reach that place of explosion, and they make a cowardly act, and they take someone's life. I, like a lot of individuals, think that there has to be better gun control.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that individuals that do get licensed and do it the right way, those are not the people that are going out taking other people's life and having these mass shootings. And so we have to have a better control on the access to guns. That's the biggest issue to me. Why is there such a plethora and access of guns that are not registered available to the public or to our teenage boys and or girls? Why is that an issue? So that's my biggest thing. We have to have better policies and controls over the access to weapons. Mm-hmm. And I think until we do that, what you and I witnessed today will still take place 10 and 15 years from now.
Yeah, I agree. I know I'm asked about that a lot, being the Vietnam vet myself and then having accessibility, of course, to M16s and AR-15s in that situation. And, of course, probably the last thing that I probably thought about would be to do something along those lines, especially with regards to a weapon of that nature.
Right. And I believe that there should be a mental health evaluation given for gun ownership.
Yep.
I personally believe that. How that looks, what it looks like, I am not sure. But I really do believe that. And I think that the individuals that do go that far, they don't have a record.
Yeah.
And so how do you regulate that?
Yeah. Crazy.
It is. It's crazy. The world we live in.
So your attempt to resolve and solve and or prevent as many mental health catastrophes as possible through the process that you're working on. So I know we have very little time left, but I just want to go over again, make sure I got it right. April 13th at Sinclair Community College.
Yes.
444 West 3rd Street?
Correct.
Okay. And so the time.
Yes.
Let's talk about the time.
So it will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
10 to 2?
Yes. Yeah, so 10 from 10 to 11, it's receiving our guests, light hors d'oeuvres, nice hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
From 11 to like 12:30 is the meat of the conference itself. Okay. And then from that time, you have an opportunity to network. Individuals can meet with, you know, like you witnessed last year.
Right.
Individuals wanted to speak to you briefly, take a few photos. Media will be present. And it's just a good, it's a great day.
Good time.
Mm-hmm. And it goes fast.
It does. It does go fast. And I think we have probably a chance to answer maybe like 2 or 3 questions. Mm-hmm. Just be with the panel. And, of course, we have so many burning thoughts of things that we want to say in terms of addressing those issues. You know, I am excited. Again, looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing you again back here. Now, of course, I hope you stay in Dayton until then and spend as much money as you can, okay?
Absolutely.
So you can help my tax base, okay? But, again, and bring your friends as well.
Absolutely.
Let them stay with you. And other than that, of course, I'll see you before then, I'm sure. But looking forward to that event again and hope it's anywhere close to being as successful as the previous one. And
Absolutely.
We'll be great in Dayton. I'm glad you're doing it in Dayton. Dayton is better served because of the work that you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And again, I thank you as well as Dayton for having me.
Okay.
Welcoming me back home. So, okay. Yeah, I thank you.
All right. Thank you much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
So thank you for watching in another edition of In the Spotlight with Mary Mims. And as always, have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Birthplace of Next, a publication of the City of Dayton's Office of Communications and Public Affairs. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss the latest news about what's happening in Dayton. If you have questions or feedback for us, please email cityhall@daytonohio.gov.